I think that nervousness is something that affects us all. So, you know, get down in that fetal position, tighten up as hard as you can, and then pop out kind of in a jumping jack position. I found that that really does help. But sometimes just breathing and counting your breaths, so it helps you to kind of concentrate on something else other than that thing that you're nervous about.
Welcome to Starve the Doubts. I'm your host, Jared Easley. Joining us today, someone new, someone different. Chris Murphy from ShovelCloud.com. Hey, Chris.
I'm all new.
You are new. And not to be confused with in the nude. You're new, but you're not in the nude.
Did it sound like I said I was in the nude?
Sometimes there's people who have been on podcast interviews who were not wearing pants. We're not going to name names, but I know that that is true.
Well, you know, they say if you're nervous that you should picture your audience in your underwear. Maybe people get that confused and say, if you're nervous, get in your own underwear.
So, Chris, what other recommendations do you have if you're nervous?
Put on some pants, number one.
Yeah, we encourage pants. Thrift store pants, to be precise.
That is true.
That bell-bottom thrift store pants. Yep, that's a callback, ladies and gentlemen, but keep going.
If you haven't heard it, listen to the Atlanta episode. To hear where we shopped, or at least where I shopped in my high school days. Yes. Yeah, but if you're nervous, yeah, if people are pointing and laughing, that's probably because you did do that advice wrong and you're not wearing pants. So wear pants. And two, you know what I did hear a long time ago in my theater training is if you're nervous and just before you go on stage, you should kind of in the privacy of, you know, if you can find privacy, kind of ball up into a ball, like kind of squat down and tense your body as much as possible for about 5 to 10 seconds, and then explode out and stand up on your tiptoes and stretch your arms out as far as you could go and stretch out. And so that tension and release is supposed to help to calm those nerves. So
we're talking fetal position on your toes.
Yeah. So like,
and then like a jumping jack motion. There, is that note?
I could not have described it better. You actually did a great job there. That's exactly correct.
Wow, I get nervous just trying to do that move. So, I got to do the move to do it.
Yeah. I did pull something. So, yeah, you may have to be careful.
Well, that'll be another podcast episode of what to do when you pull something. When Chris pulls someone's finger.
Walk it off, baby. Walk it off.
When I think of being nervous, man, those are great tips, by the way, Chris. I think the best strategy for overcoming nervousness is to be prepared and practice. Mm. And people are like, oh, you know, it's the easy answer. But it really is true. When I was in elementary school, I was in a play, and I remember being really nervous about being in that play, but I practiced and practiced. So when it was time, I was ready to do the lines, and you know, I just executed, man. And while I was nervous, I was able to make it happen. And I think when I started the podcast too, I was a bit nervous and I was a bit shy. I remember going back and listening to an episode that you and I actually recorded. This was a few years back, and we interviewed a guy named Santiago Jaramillo. Oh, you remember this?
I absolutely do.
Yeah, Santiago is an awesome guy, by the way. I don't think for a second that he's listening, but if he was, we love you, Santiago. Sorry for never posting the episode. But the reason the episode never got posted, I couldn't get over the fact of how I sounded. I was so, like, timid, and I didn't sound confident, and truthfully, I was embarrassed by the episode, and I just kind of said, oh, that's a throwaway episode, which really wasn't fair to Santiago, but that's what happened.
You know, I don't remember specifically you being nervous during that interview, but I know that feeling, man. It is really debilitating when, especially like on a podcast interview, when you think, okay, I'm a little nervous. And then you start thinking about being nervous, which takes you out of the interview, which takes you out of sounding natural. And then before you know it, it's turned into a big ball of mess.
Big ball of mess. So what are some music that you listen to that kind of gets you in the I'm pumped zone, where the nervousness kind of subsides because you're in the zone because the music just set the tone?
You know, depending upon the mood that I'm trying to elicit, if that's the correct usage of that word, if I'm trying to get into a pumped mode, I listen to like pumped up music, like kind of whatever you would imagine your best favorite workout music. For me, it's like hard rock. I really like that and kind of feeling pumping, going along with it. If it's classic rock or the kind of the newer stuff as well. But sometimes I need some good hardcore gangster rap or some EDM to get me there as well. But sometimes I need to actually calm down. And so I listen to a lot of classical music, kind of nature sounds. I've got this cool app on my phone called Windy, Windy. And it's a cool app that just basically sounds like if you were sitting at a campfire and just kind of listening to the wind, listening to the rustle of the leaves, listening to the crickets and birds do their thing. it's kind of a peaceful thing. So sometimes if I need to chill out, I turn on Windy and let it do its job.
Windy. I don't know that, but I'm going to look it up.
You know, a few weeks ago, or I guess this is probably sometime in the spring of 2016, it was offered as like a free download app in Apple's iTunes app store. And so I downloaded it just like, I'll see if I like it. And if I don't, I'll delete it. But I listen to it almost every day now. It's great, like background noise when I'm, you know, typing a blog post or writing an email or something like that. And it's also good if you've got some anxiety to kind of chill you out.
Well, I have not listened to that, but I need to check that out. Chris, we've often heard that you are what you think about. I know you've heard similar kind of quotes and phrasing in the online space.
Sure.
That mindset, you know, idea. And there's even a verse in Proverbs that talks about, I think it's Proverbs 23:7. So, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, or something like that. As a man thinketh, so he is. And I was curious, can you think that you're excited rather than nervous and that just be the case? Has that ever been true for you?
I think it has been the case. But for me, I find that easier said than done. Just being completely vulnerable, this morning I was in a rotten mood. But kind of thinking along those lines, as I was dropping my kids off, like this was early, like my day got off to a rough start. But I was trying to deal with it, trying to be cordial to those around me. And I was in a funk. And so in the back of my head, I kept thinking like, you know, if you smile enough, it will eventually click on a better mood. I kept smiling and I was doing my best to keep the smile up there. But my wife noticed, my kids noticed, and I didn't really get over the hump of feeling grumpy this morning. But actually, it was when you and I spoke several hours ago, it completely switched my day. It was, I don't know, just chatting with you. You were just typical Jared, as everyone has gotten to know, just a nice guy, likable guy. You were very complimentary. And before I knew it, I was like 60 seconds into a phone conversation with you and like the morning had drifted away. So sometimes that works, but I have to take my hat off to you and thank you, because a kind word from a friend also works wonders in those situations as well. So if I couldn't get myself over the hump, you actually helped me to feel better. And I don't even know if you knew I was in a bad mood when we talked, but no, but thank you.
Oh, I agree 100%. Having conversations with good friends who understand or who can make you laugh or who can share something that's a word of encouragement, that always kind of gets your mind off of something negative and hopefully onto something that's good.
Sure.
In this case, if you're nervous and you're talking to somebody who's your friend who's looking out for you, I think that can only be helpful, at least a temporary distraction before, you know, something that you have to hit play on or,
sure.
or hit go.
I mean, just a few weeks ago when you and I were doing some in-person interviews at the Launch Out conference in Atlanta, we were speaking to a lot of people who were somewhere between beginning phase of starting in like an entrepreneurial online business or a coach or something. But a lot of them had come there, and many of them, this was their first time they were standing on stage and delivering a speech to a group of people. And, you know, we saw a lot of people with nerves, and you and I have done our fair share of speaking in front of crowds or playing music in front of people. So to have somebody there is a big deal. I know that you and I, when we used to play guitar together back in the day, it was a whole lot easier to walk on stage knowing that you were beside me versus just walking there all by myself and kind of feeling, you know, naked, so to speak, in front of all those people. Not literally, I wouldn't do that in front of you, but but yeah, you know,
we did talk about not having pants on, and that now I find it weird that you've gone back to that and then subconsciously.
It's full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's another step for confidence, as we talked about, you know, maybe talking yourself up like, I'm Chris Murphy, I got this.
Yeah.
And then hearing a good word from a friend, but maybe you're wearing that shirt or that outfit that just says, hey, I got this. Have you ever had that outfit?
Oh, absolutely.
Where you're like, hey, this is the one.
Absolutely. Sometimes that outfit is like a confidence outfit. Sometimes it's a comfort mm-hmm. outfit. And I know that even, you know, like we were joking a little bit earlier about, you know, doing podcasts in your underwear. I have worn a specific outfit on a podcast before because I wanted to feel what those clothes made me feel. And even though no one would see me on an audio podcast, I wanted to exude that confidence. So absolutely, I've absolutely had an outfit that I've needed to wear even when I knew no one was going to see me.
I think about a Christmas party a few years ago where my wife wanted all of us to match. I'm sure you've
yeah, been there.
Been there. Yeah. And in this case, it was red, right? Because it's the holidays. And I had a shirt that was buttoned down, a long sleeve. collar, all that. And it was red, and it didn't fit right, Chris. I'm not trying to be mean, but it just didn't fit right. And yeah, it matched, but when I just wore it, I didn't feel right. I felt constricted, and you know, I was self-conscious, you know, I don't know. So I look back at all the pictures. Now, this was a few years ago, and I remember not being joyful and not being Christmas spirit, but just being so like uncomfortable in that shirt. Oh, and like thinking, I hated that shirt. And that's unfortunate, you know. It's like that's the opposite of wearing the confident shirt. I would have rather wore a green shirt and us not match and had fun, but at least we matched in the pictures.
You know, that actually throws me back to a story from high school. Back when you and I were in school, Friends was like the biggest show on TV, and yes, I was a big fan as well. My favorite character in those days, I've gone through phases where I think all six of them have been my favorite character at some point in time, but at that point in time, Chandler was my favorite character. And he always wore these bowling shirts, especially back in the early days of Friends. And I remember begging Santa Claus to bring me, aka my mom and dad, if you guys are going to get me anything, I want a bowling shirt like Chandler had. And wow. I don't know if it was the fit. I don't know if it was my mom found it on a, you know, bargain basement rack or something like that. But
at the thrift store.
Yeah, maybe so. But when I finally put that shirt on and looked in the mirror, I was so sad because I couldn't pull it off like Chandler Bing could pull it off on the show. And that shirt was only worn on Christmas morning when I went to look at myself in the mirror. I never got it out of my closet again. I never once attempted to put it on again because I just knew that I could not pull that look off. And so that was a bummer to beg for something and then to finally have it and it just be such a disappointment when I put it on my scrawny bird-chested frame.
Well, I can't speak for the shirt, but I think, you know, it's hard not to be confident in bowling shoes.
Oh, that is true.
You know, worn by God knows how many people before you. And they're stuck in the 70s and you know, it's 2016. It's like you think they'd get new bowling shoes, but they don't.
You know, that's a good point. I mean, everybody wears the same shoes and they're not comfortable shoes and they're not necessarily convenient either. Like you can't do anything and you can't even slide around the bowling alley in those shoes. I don't know why those are the particular shoes that they decided to hand out to everybody, but yeah, I agree.
Could it be that they were nervous that people would steal them?
Let's give them the ugliest shoes so they will not dare walk out of here with them.
Yeah, I'm nervous they're going to take our shoes. We need ugly shoes.
Hey, that's a good plan, actually.
All right, well, maybe there's a takeaway there, Chris. Is maybe you just say, hey, I'm nervous that I'm not going to get a desired outcome, so I'm just going to mail it in. But I don't know that that's necessarily the right way to live.
Yeah. Again, I don't know if a bowling alley is the epitome of how we should do business in 2016. But
well, there is some profitable bowling alleys out there. I don't want to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm sorry. I am on your show as a guest, and here I am just smearing the name of the good bowling alleys out
there. Yeah. If that were a bowling play right there, I don't even think that's a word. But if that was, you bowled a, I don't know, what's like a bad pin?
Zero. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Zero. Like a, that's either a gutter ball or.
Yeah, there we go.
What's a turkey? I don't even know what that is in bowling.
Gutter ball is and turkey are like the opposite things. I think a turkey is when you get three strikes in a row.
Okay, so no, that was not a turkey. That was a gutter. Three strikes in a row is called a turkey. Man, you can tell that I wear the cool bowling shoes frequently based on my bowling vocabulary.
Just as long as they like spray the little Lysol cleaner stuff inside the shoes wearings, that's all I care about.
Well, you're really, really the opposite of nervous. You are very confident if you're putting on those shoes without that.
I just practice moonwalking on the wooden floors up there next to the alley.
Have you ever been bowling and like you deliberately didn't put on those shoes and kept on your existing shoes and started bowling and somebody was like, hey?
You know, maybe I'm too much of a rule follower because as much as I hate those shoes, I have never not worn them.
All right. Maybe if that has been your experience as you are listening, you can tweet to us and let us know. I think that'd be a fun thing to hear. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of want to hear your being yelled at story now.
Okay. So, Chris, I like this topic of nervousness. So let's talk about a moment that sticks out to you where you were really nervous. Mm.
Gosh, a moment that I've been really nervous.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Well, I've been to your wedding. I would imagine that might have been a moment where you're nervous. And one of the reasons is not because you were just getting married to the love of your life, but you performed a song that you had just written.
That's true.
Like in front of hundreds of people.
Yeah, thank you. I actually, because I've been on stage quite a bit, I have been several versions of nervous and or just like weirdly calm. And I didn't know what to explain that away with. But the wedding day was actually one that, okay, here's one for the listeners out there. Everything seemed fine until like, yes, I was nervous. And I'll go back and tell that story in a second. But I think that the final, I've gone through the whole day, the ceremony happened, everything happened with hanging out with people afterwards. And then my wife and I get on a plane to leave for our honeymoon. And I literally, for some reason, my legs stopped working and I couldn't walk off the plane. It was like I had just married the love of my life. And she's like, this guy is the one that will provide and protect me for here to all eternity. And then by the time we start to get off the plane in Orlando, the people working on the plane had to help me stand up and walk off the plane. It was bizarre. But I think that that was a testament to how nervous I actually was, but tried to fight through it. And then my body having to deal with it later.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that about you.
Yeah, that was a pretty strange day. The night before my wedding, I broke out in hives and my and my nurse mother-in-law had to check me head to toe to see if I needed to go to the emergency room or not.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I know.
Why? Why did you break out?
I could not tell you. And I've never broken out in hives again, nor have I been so difficult as to not be able to walk again. But the night before and the night of my wedding, I was gone, man.
So let's tell that story because I think it's a good story. You married Terry, who's been a guest on the show. Yeah. People can go back and listen to the Connect episode where Terry was the guest. But you performed a song. So let's talk about this song and how that played into your wedding.
You know, it was one of those things where even from being a little guy, I thought that, okay, I write songs, I play guitar, all of these things. I want to make my wedding day memorable. And so I knew that I would write a song even years before I wrote the song or met Terry, or at least figured out that she was going to be my wife. And so I did. I wrote a song and I wrote it out on guitar. And then I had a friend of mine transpose it to piano. He and a violinist actually performed it. So Terry didn't know about this. I practiced it several times before, but the actual time of the wedding came. And she went at one point, she needed to hand her flowers to her bridesmaid, handed the flowers to her. And when she turned back around, I had a microphone in my hand and the piano and violin started playing. And so then I sang this song that I'd written for her. And it was a cool moment. I think that before I walked out to get married, I was more nervous of forgetting the lines to the song and making a fool of myself than I was actually getting married. So it was one of those moments where I was like, dude, you got to suck it up and perform here if you've never done it before.
Well, I got to say, most guys would just be nervous just to be getting married. And not only did you get married, you performed a song that you had just written and you remembered all the words. And as someone who was there, I was fortunate to be a groomsman in your wedding all those years ago. And watching that and seeing the audience watch it, man, I've been to a lot of weddings, Chris. I've never seen anybody pull off what you did.
Really?
Like that. I mean, I've seen some creative stuff. Sure, don't get me wrong. But what you did was, that was really well done, man. Like, cool. It was a moment for sure. I was like, yeah, top that, buddy. You know?
Like, well, I appreciate that. You know what? As much as I remember actually singing, I had like this tunnel vision, I guess. I don't remember one person around me or what the audience looked like. I remember her face and I remember the microphone. That's all I could see in that moment. So I think that that was probably a testament to the nerves as well, that I don't remember anything, but when I thought back on it, I remembered that I pulled it off and I could remember seeing her cry. So that was a pretty cool moment.
Ew.
in a good way, in a like, sweet way kind of deal.
Did you ever get nervous like when you're asking a girl out or anything like that?
Heck yeah. That I think that's why I only had like long-term girlfriends because I couldn't take the rejection. So I, you know, if one girl said yes, I was like, okay, I guess we'll date for 3 years because I'm not breaking up with you and having to go through this situation again.
I'm not trying to get another date to that dance.
Right. I hope you like me because I'm not going anywhere. How about you?
Oh yeah, man. I was nervous. I asked. And I always had bad luck with that kind of thing. And part of it was self-inflicted, Chris, because I dreamed big, I guess was the way to say it. I had champagne taste on a beer budget, if you will. And so I was targeting ladies that probably I should not have been targeting, meaning they were a little further up the social ladder. And so in doing so, I got taught several lessons in humility. And there was one girl that I asked to prom, and she was kind of nice. And I knew her from, you know, a number of things, classes, church, so on and so forth. So it wasn't like, you know, I didn't know her. I knew her.
Right.
And I thought we had a reasonable rapport. So I asked her. It took all my courage to ask her. And then her answer was like, I don't know yet or something like that. And it was like, oh, you know, okay, well, you don't know yet. Well, there's a chance, you know, kind of like a Dumb and Dumber. You're saying there's a chance. And long story short, she ended up going with the starting linebacker for our football team and conveniently didn't tell me that she was going. So I remember when I found that news, oh, hey, do you hear who this girl's going with? Me? No, it's with this other guy. So then it was like, well, crap. You know, not only did she not tell me, she, you know, I guess she was holding out for him.
That's brutal.
But then I was like, okay, now I got to go find somebody else. So I then had to, and unfortunately, not a lot of people knew that I asked her.
Good.
So I didn't have to, you know, bear the shame of that. But I did have to then go and ask somebody else and go through that process again. And thankfully, round two ended up being the right, you know, person that I went to prom with. And I think that's maybe a takeaway here is you're going to get some bad luck, you're going to strike out, and you're just going to have to pick yourself back up and go to the dance anyway. You know, go ahead and ask somebody else.
You know what? I know this is cliche because I've heard this hundreds of times, but you know, they talk about a person can make it into the Major League Hall of Fame by only batting 300. And if you bat 300, that means that like 7 out of those 10 times you get up to bat, you either strike out or you pop out. So I think that it's also a testament of just getting up and doing it again. You know, I mean, for you, when I look at your wife and look at your family, I see that, you know what, you may have been swinging for the fences, going for those people that may have been above your pay grade, but you found that one that was like, yes, I will. And you nailed it. You locked that puppy down and married Rachel.
Oh, and I have no complaints, but I am friends on Facebook with this one girl. And so every now and then, like in the past, when I'd see her post and stuff, it was kind of funny. Like I found myself, I'm not going to like that. You know what I mean? I was like, messed up. Why do I even think that way? You know, like, that's years ago. I was like, I need to probably get over that.
Dude, she shunned you 20 years ago. There's no way that you need to.
I know. I was like, I can be friends with her online, but I'm not going to like her status. No way.
Or maybe I'll like it and then I will not like it later.
How do you like it and not like it later?
I'll unlike it when she thinks that I've really liked it.
I'm questioning your Facebook strategy, Chris. Never heard of such thing.
I'll unlike it and then like the starting linebackers post instead.
You always know how to say things that really hurt me, Chris.
No, I'm trying to. I don't know what I'm doing at this point.
Yeah, I'm nervous about where this podcast is going. Oh, my goodness. All right, well, I love those stories about being nervous. I'm trying to think of a few. You mentioned like we played together in a band, and I remember feeling kind of the same way when we would first get up, and when it was usually just me performing on my own, like solo guitar, I would get a little nervous. I remember when I'd play with you, I didn't feel nervous. Like I was just like, oh, it's just Chris and I going up and having fun.
Agreed.
And whenever we got up and had fun, that seemed to be when we had the best results. When we sold the most pirated tapes,
you know, pirated tapes of our own music.
But when we got the most gigs that we traveled, you know, several states to find out, you know, hardly anyone's coming, you know, those kinds of things. That's another podcast all to itself. But
you know what?
Yeah,
I think that you hit it a little bit there with the way I feel. I find you said that when we would first get up, you may be a little nervous, or when you would play solo, when you would first get up, you'd feel a little nervous. I find that a lot of my nerves start to calm down if I can just get up and start, whether it's, you know, playing music or giving a speech or the handful of times that I've done stand-up comedy. I can find myself, if I, you know, kind of walk out on a ledge that I've not tried before, like a few years ago, I just tried stand-up as an experiment and I was extremely nervous. But once I got up and said my first few things, within, you know, 20, 30 seconds or a minute at the most, I kind of started to feel like I was in a groove. And so I think that a lot of times, if you can just get up and start, the ball starts rolling downhill and you just have to make sure that you're prepared enough to be able to stay up on stage. But yeah, I found for myself, first getting up, I am nervous. But then once I get up there and start, then I can, then a lot of those fears are kind of quenched or quelled.
Now, sometimes you start the podcast and then it rolls downhill, so. Which is not exactly what you were talking about. But
I know that feeling too.
But you just, you know, you work through that. Hey, thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. Hey, Chris, I was talking to a friend, this was a few years ago. His name is Ray. And Ray talked about when he'd get up to perform or something, he would actually switch over to his alter ego. And I was like, this is weird. Where's this going? But he pretended he had like this character named Rex.
Nice.
And he pretended like when he was on stage, he wasn't himself Ray. He was Rex. And I was thinking, is that part of something that you learn in acting? You know, you're not Chris Murphy anymore. You're, you know, you're Huckleberry Finn, or how does that work?
Sure. You know what? I have done that myself as well. And it does work. It's interesting and kind of strange how that works. But, you know, coming from a theater background, I've played so many different characters that a lot of times if I had to stand on stage and say something that to Chris Murphy is actually not something that I would say, it's kind of contrary to what I believe or how I would really act in a situation, I could hide behind the fact that I was that character, you know, and like, okay, I've got to say this line that may be mean or rude, and I wouldn't want to say this in my personal life, but that's what this character has to say. So the deeper I can get into that character, the more I can believably say that. So I have also created an alter ego that I call Mickey, that my, I know, well, Mick or Mickey, my full name is Michael Christopher Murphy. So I take kind of like the Mick from Michael, but kind of my alter ego is like one half actual Chris Murphy and the other half Mick Jagger. And so that's why I call him Mick. And, you know, I've never seen someone so confident up on stage for as many years as he's been doing it as Mick Jagger. So sometimes I have to think about Mick Jagger and then my alter ego also being Mick or Mickey. And I do the same thing. So I confess that I do that as well, and it does work.
All right, one last thing, and then we can start to close it up. Is I know you've also got an improv comedy experience and background. And so I was wondering, from a comedian standpoint of maybe getting up and doing stand-up or something, does that also fall into the line of, okay, I'm just going to get started, or what are some things that you did as a comedian to kind of break that ice and just kind of get into your rhythm?
You know what? I stole from other comedians to see what they did, because when I kind of use it as an experiment to think, okay, again, for years and years, I played music on stage. I've done choir in church. I've given sermons. I've given speeches. I've done all these kinds of things. And so I was decently confident on stage. But when I thought about stand-up comedy and how raw that is, because you just stand up there and you give a joke out there, and if the audience doesn't like it, they're not going to laugh. And so it's very, very vulnerable. And so I started looking at other comedians when I was considering trying this kind of experiment. And I noticed that so many comedians get up and the first minute or two, they don't really do quote unquote jokes. They get up and kind of interact with the audience and they kind of develop a rapport. And so that's what I started to do when I was preparing for my first time, as I practiced talking to the audience and kind of walking out and like being observant of what they're doing. And then commenting on it like, wow, you know, you're several drinks in. Are you going to be okay to leave, kind of thing? And so to kind of get the audience on my side, but also I'm having a conversation with them. So instead of me just going up there and giving a bunch of jokes, this being me, someone they have never seen before, I tried to ingratiate myself or try to become kind of pseudo buddies for a minute. So it was easier to get a laugh from them than it would be if they're just like, who's this Yahoo standing up here trying to make me laugh?
Oh, Chris, we got to test this theory. So I'm going to put you on the spot, and you can turn around and put me on the spot too. Okay. You're on stage. You're in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And you've got 1 minute to build rapport. Go.
Okay. Hey, what's going on, everybody? How you doing out there? Thank you guys so much for letting me be here in the land of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Any football fans out there? That's what I'm talking about. This guy over here looks like he's a little bit too big of a fan, or he's had too much to drink, guys. Bouncers, you need to keep your eyes on. Hey, calm down there. Bouncers, watch out for this guy. He's going to be a problem later on in the show. I'm a big football fan.
His name is Mickey.
Hey, Mickey is my alter ego, and I love that guy. He's been with me through thick and thin. And speaking of Mickey, I remember when I was, you know, being on stage like I am now, Mickey, I saw the Rolling Stones a few weeks ago. How many of you seen the Rolling Stones in concert? They're amazing, right? Yeah. Okay, so I think we're going on near a minute here, or maybe that was...
Well, that was actually 50 seconds. Oh. I got to say, I here's what I really liked about that. I liked how you turned it to football, because there's no one in Pittsburgh that's not going to cheer for the, you know, the football
team.
Yeah,
totally, yeah.
And so I think that was a smart strategy. And then, you know, kind of dealing with the heckler, I thought you handled that reasonably well.
Yeah, that was just okay. Yeah, I was at C-.
I don't know how in the world you took that to the Rolling Stones, but you did. And I don't, it would have been interesting to see where that went from there, but it's probably better that we didn't hear it. So, but yeah, well done.
Well, I appreciate it. You know what? Again, it was trying to, you very much put me on the spot there, but I tried to think of, you know, if you're going to be giving a speech, or if you're going to put yourself in a position where you're going to be nervous, try to think of something that's going to tie you in or kind of ingratiate you with the audience, something that you know that they're going to appreciate. Again, going back to the Launch Out conference a few weeks ago, I heard a couple of people stand up there and say something to the effect of, because everybody was there and they were all speaking to one another, it was like, wow, I didn't realize it was going to be this many blank faces staring back at me. And everybody would kind of realize what you're talking about if you say that, because they're all standing up there at some point with those blank faces. And so find a little nugget that you can enjoy with your audience. And if you can make them giggle a little bit, that's just that much better.
Man, that was great.
Yeah.
Really, really good takeaways there.
Sure. I want to turn the table on you now and see what you can do.
Now I'm nervous. All right.
Okay. So now you are going to stand up and you're going to do some comedy as well, but you're not Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You are across the country, actually even across the waters into your old stomping grounds in Hawaii. How would you first start out in Hawaii?
Aloha, everyone.
Aloha.
As you can see, I'm a Howley. I don't appreciate those boos.
White boy.
Thanks, Mom. Yeah, I love Hawaii. The white people love Hawaii, right? That's why we took it over. That was a foul. Okay. Hey, I appreciate you cheering for me. My name is Jared. It's Jared like the jewelry store. I used to say Jared like the Subway guy, but I don't say that anymore. I guess Hawaii doesn't know about Subway, right? There's a few Hawaiians here that know about Subway.
We already eat fresh.
we're having pork here, not Subway sandwiches. All right, fair enough. That's a good thing. I wanted to tell you a little joke. This happened actually in Hawaii, in a rural town just up on the North Shore. And there was it was an insane asylum. And I don't remember the name of it, but basically a gentleman was in his pickup truck and he had a whole bunch of pineapple, right? Or he had manure, right, in the back of his truck that he was going to put on his pineapple. And basically he was driving and the truck broke down and he was looking at the truck and he had the front of the truck up. And then, you know, some of the people from the insane asylum came out to check on him. They said, hey, mister, you know, what are you going to do with all that manure? And he's like, oh, I put that on my pineapple. And they said, oh, you may think we're crazy, but we put whipped cream on ours. All right.
I like that. Very good job.
We better stick to final thoughts here.
Hey, and I think you were working on 2 minutes there, so you really got
it. I don't know. I better not do stand-up. I think that's what we just learned.
No, I like the Howley remark.
If you like me, I'm Jared. If you don't, my name's Mickey.
Yeah, anybody listening, don't tell anybody about the Mickey thing. I want to keep that to myself.
Hashtag Mickey. All right, Chris, do you have any final thoughts on nervousness?
Man, you know what? I think that nervousness is something that affects us all. So, get down in that fetal position, tighten up as hard as you can, and then pop out kind of in a jumping jack position like you were describing so eloquently earlier. I found that that really does help. But sometimes just breathing and counting your breaths, so it helps you to kind of concentrate on something else other than that thing that you're nervous about. So those are two little quick takeaways.
Yeah, I love it. And I think listen to music that pumps you up. Maybe pretend you're in a moment, maybe at a football game where it's your favorite team ever and they just scored like the winning touchdown or the winning field goal with like no time left, and just go crazy. Yeah. And just take a moment and just cheer and get it all out and then go do your thing.
I love that. That's a great idea.
Somebody's going to write us and be like, I tried that and it didn't work. Like, oh. All right, Chris. Thanks, man.
Hey, great job, buddy. You know, if you smile enough, it will eventually click on a better mood. I kept smiling and I was doing my best to keep the smile up there, but my wife noticed, my kids noticed, and I didn't really get over the hump of feeling grumpy this morning. Actually, it was when you and I spoke several hours ago. It just completely switched my day. You were just typical Jared, as everyone has gotten to know, just a nice guy, likable guy. You were very complimentary. And sometimes that works, but I have to take my hat off to you and thank you, because a kind word from a friend also works wonders in those situations as well.